Hey guys, hope you're doing well. I know it's been a minute since November, because last I checked, they said that since I have checked in and done an episode, well, I'm back after some big oopsie daisies that has been going around in the world. Not fun, not cool what the EU is doing with chat control, or France, or pretty much anyone in general. A lot of dystopian things have happened since in the last couple months. We're going to go over it, how you can kind of like defend yourself against this big mess of constant online surveillance. Whether it's legal or not is up to you and your decision. I think people should have the right to privacy, and if they have to go the extra mile to make sure that they are securing their digital identity, their shared secrets, etc., etc., do as what you want with this kind of information. I will leave in the show notes, hopefully this time, all the information that I have gathered and pretty much like all the tools and resources at our disposal to make sure that you stay not only much more privately, but your communications have a less likely chance of being compromised, and fundamentally be able to fight back against stuff like chat control. It is quite the nightmare. So if you've been living under a rock and you don't know what chat control is, essentially the easiest way to explain what it is, the EU still wants to scan your private messages and photos. The chat control proposal would mandate scanning of all private digital communications, including encrypted messages and photos. This threat is pretty much not good from a rights perspective, and it could obviously lead to mass surveillance. It could break encryption, which if that happens, then you really just have no privacy. And if you have no privacy, you have essentially no rights, in my opinion. I think that privacy and data protection is kind of like important. If you don't have a way to do something in private, then you really don't have a way to do it at all. And it removes the pretty much the choice. Scanning could give false positives, and it's just going to be really ineffective. And it's going to, with all the data collection, it could put people at risk that are trying to maybe expose something, aka like a whistleblower. Say they find information about a company that is violating people's rights, or maybe just terrible people existing. You get the idea. It's just not good. So if you go to the Fight Chat Control EDU website, I would recommend it. It shows you, especially if you live in the European Union, there is only 4 states, 4 places that are opposing. It's Czech Republic based, Italy based, Netherlands based, Poland based. They all oppose of this. Supporting it, very gay, lots of places. Austria, Belgium, Bulgaria, Croatia, one of the biggest supporters, France, 81 of their members or their MEPs. They just, lots of people. Denmark supporting of all places. Switzerland, I think, as well. Undecided, not any undecided. Everyone's pretty much like for it. Spain, Romania, Luxembourg, Portugal, of all places, too. Ireland, Germany, all these. So if you want, I would say your EU politicians, pretty much EU politicians exempt themselves from surveillance under professional secrecy rules. They get privacy, and your family do not demand fairness. Yeah, it's pretty much you can use the site to contact your representatives, as you should, and maybe if they don't want to listen, or your member states, I would vote them out, or do whatever France does, or whatever countries do when they get mad at their government. That's kind of like just not a good thing. On a side note, I've been self-hosting a lot of stuff in order to get away from the massive amount of digital IDs that are going on in the United States. It's not fun and it's not cool. So far, 25 states, 25 U.S. states verification laws for adult content and like other websites is pretty much going into effect. Utah did this in 2023. Texas did this in 2024. I think something just got blocked though in Texas for age verification. A judge found it unconstitutional. Alabama, Indiana, Wyoming, North Dakota, Arizona, Ohio, Missouri, all 25, half the country pretty much is imposing these age verification laws. I don't care if it's for adult content. I don't care if it's for non-adult content. I don't care what it is. The internet needs not, we don't need this on the internet. Force parents to be parents. Force them to be in their kids' lives. Force them, you know, however you want to do it, figure it out. lots of fucking, you can't, the internet is not the parent. And they're going to, it's just going to leak from, it's just going to start with pornography, and then it's going to social media, and then it's going to go to ordering your DoorDash, Labubus, or whatever the fuck you need, and then it's you know, it starts with one thing, and then it slips and slopes all the way down. I know there are some states out there that require you to use your ID to buy spray paint because of XYZ, which is fucking retarded. And the thing is, you can just use a VPN to bypass all this, or use someone else's ID. That's what's going to happen. It's just going to be abused. There's also a measure pretty much to easily circumvent VPNs, prompting some states for like Michigan and Wisconsin to propose legal legislation banning VPNs, which you can't fucking do anyways. It's retarded. There's ways around it. Or you can just use Tor. There's just too many obstacles to go get around this. Not obstacles. There's too many tools to get around this. So it's just going to be, it's just fucking retarded. This is what I'm saying. Like lawmakers and people in Congress are too old to understand the internet, and it's just retarded. And it's just a way to infringe on people's privacy. People that commit crimes are just going to do this in secrecy. Law-abiding citizens that aren't breaking the law, that are out there just wanting to go on the internet, that are of age now, quote-unquote, in the state's eyes, will not have to fork over their government ID to go on Facebook or whatever. And then when a data breach happens, your information gets leaked out, Facebook gives you $5, and then they move on. But you have to give them more information. It's just kind of retarded. We live in like kind of like a dystopian. We're heading into dystopia, and I knew it was going to start reaching once I saw the UK do it. Then Australia did it. Australia, I think, officially now has the ability to ID people and banning social media for under age, I think 16 or under or something like that. And people think like, wow, what a win. Well, how do you prove they're 16? Now, how do you, what if you say it's from like their searching habits, but what if a person's just looking up like, you know, Magic the Gathering cards or some shit that they assume is just for children, and then XYZ or like whatever. And they misprofile someone as a child that is an adult, or an adult that is a child, like a person they think is adult is a child that's actually a child, and then they just get on the internet anyways, or they ask for ID for like a full-fledged adult, and then they hand over their information, and then a data leak happens, and then all their information is out in the fucking world that you cannot change and you cannot do anything about. So you're just telling people not to pretty much use social media. I'm not saying social media is like a good thing for society. There's probably some negatives for it. But the internet at the end of the day is a thing. How you use it is what's most important. Like if you want to use the internet just to goon and look at brain rot all day, it's your choice. You know, you should be able to do that. It's the internet. But it's all about, it's a tool. It can be used for greatness. You can look up cool stuff like cool cat pictures and shit. And it can be used as, you know, a gooning machine or just haha funny memes. I mean, we're acting like the internet is like this giant behemoth of pile of shit, when in reality it's really a great thing. I think people just don't know how to control don't know how to control their kids or whatever. That's just my, or like people just don't know how to control, like, in general. That's just kind of like my viewpoint on it when I think about it. Like, this is clown town logic, and it's not good. It's not good for society. So what do you do? What is the steps that you take in order to kind of like evade this? There's not a lot you can do in terms of turning it around. Now, what you can do, in my opinion, is if you have the financial means, start self-hosting everything. It doesn't have to be on a big, beefy server. It doesn't have to be on the highest, especially if electricity cost isn't super expensive in your area. Your options should be most definitely to self-host, and with hardware becoming more obtainable and inexpensive, minus the fact that we're having a RAM shortage right now, which is, well, RAM price hike is not good, but if you have an old PC laying around, a laptop, anything that can stay on 24/7 to connect the internet is a viable option to self-host. You don't have to overthink it. You just got to figure out what you need. How much buffer room do you have for hosting? Like, obviously, a single node on Proxmox has no redundancy with one hard drive. But if you have a good backup scheme consistently, you know, I did it for many, many years on a single server with 3 terabyte hard drives, by the way, but I did it in combination for high storage. But it was the Western Digital Blue 3 terabyte hard drives. Those are notoriously considered, everyone told me, they're like, those are the worst. Those are the awful. They'll have fail. Well, that ran for 5 years straight with no oopsie daisies. And I had no good backup. I had no backup option. Just FYI. So to put that into perspective, think about that the next time someone tells you don't do something. Just have a good, don't do what I do, and have a good backup scheme. Personally, that is the best option. Now, when you look at what you should host, is it really dependent on you. If it's, you know, image, so you can just get away from Google Photos, and you have, say, like a terabyte of space, that's more than enough for the average user. Or just having a place to put your movies, etc., etc. That is always going to be the better option because of, you know, true ownership. When you have the media, you own the media. When you don't need an account, you put yourself in a better situation. Now, there are a couple of pre-quote-unquote setup, easy click-and-deploy options. Look, you don't need to sit there and fucking configure everything from the command line like super hacker gay mode. I don't think it's necessary anymore, especially with Docker, Portainer, Umbrel, Start9, Citadel. There's so many options out there you have for just easy click and deploy. With maybe some configuration changes, some, you know, to whatever XYZ is, you don't necessarily need to do everything from the command line. Is it good? Is it helpful? Yeah, when you run into problems. But that's what the internet's for. I have, you know, quite a bit of history of self-hosting and, you know, trying to figure it out or getting stuck somewhere because it's XYZ. But definitely start somewhere in the self-hosting. Now, when it comes to messages, it's not as easy as just download Signal and call it a day. You have to think. You have to think real deep about this. Certain parts of Europe probably, I don't know the laws in Europe because they're not all unanimous on everything, obviously. But if chat control happens, 2.0 happens, and it probably will, and it's, or it's going to have stepping stones that will lead into full chat control unless some giga chads get this fucking blocked and shut down, just like in the US. in the U.S., it's easy to get a number without any form of ID. You can just go to a prepaid company, hand them, you know, whatever name that you want, pay in cash, and move on. Some of these companies are popping up, these privacy phone number companies, but I don't think they really offer anything different besides, honestly, a third party, another layer, another party that can get acquired, or something bad can happen in between. Privacy policies can change. So instead of me trusting an extra party, an extra layer, I would rather just go in, pay cash, or buy a gift card with cash or Monero, and then just purchase it online and have an eSIM or something, you know, anything. It's cool that they're existing, but they're falling short of the sniff test. There's a new company called Frilly. There's Cloaked. There's Cloak, also Cloak Wireless. And then, God, they're just not really original with their fucking names. They're essentially mobile virtual network operators, MVNOs or whatever. And they operate in this capacity where they separate you from the major carrier. They say they don't collect any data. But if you think about it, if you've ever had this phone anywhere with your IMEI or IMSI, and because there's no rotation, they can just easily correlate anything. And you don't know, like, if it's T-Mobile, Verizon, AT&T, these companies can just collect data regardless. I mean, they own the network. Nothing prevents them from collecting anything. Like your location data. Live bidding is kind of like an issue too, like where companies will just bid live on this location data. Unless you create a brand new of your own infrastructure and you find a way to rotate these global identifiers that do have some trail history, you essentially are just paying extra money to a company that says that they're going to be private. I think it's kind of silly, besides the fact that you can pay with Monero from the comfort of your home. And it's kind of cool, like, that it supports the Monero ecosystem, but in reality, it's not doing much, in my opinion, from my research and like just how like these mobile network operators work. First and foremost, if you've made it this far and you gather any information from this and you want to take anything with you, all mobile network operators, and I repeat, all mobile network operators, all cell phone carriers are hostile. They're legal entities that do not care about your privacy. They're not there to care about your privacy. It's cool that these companies want to be like, hey, we don't collect anything. Cool. These mobile companies will not fall on the sword for you if you commit a crime or if you're accused of something. They will hand over your data and your information to law enforcement. They will hand over your information to advertisers. Plain and simple. Very simple to understand. There is no magic bullet yet. There is nothing that will prevent this. You are being tracked. If you have a mobile phone operator, you are being tracked. There's no way around it. It's very simple to understand. All these companies trying to sell you a pipe dream are lying to you. It's false marketing, in my opinion. And this whole, like, oh, we're protecting against SS7 and this and this and this and this and this and this. Cool. Just then say that. These companies need to be held accountable. If they have a solution to SS7 issues, SIM swapping, and port out protection, fucking amazing. Great. You fixed the security part. Let's throw a party. Just do that. Say we're a more secure option that won't collect anything on top of it, whatever the XYZ carrier is copying you. Like, I mean, XYZ carrier they were using. We're not going to collect anything. They might. Simple. That would be more impressive than these fucking cucks that are like stroking themselves. So like, yeah, we don't collect anything. And then you read through the privacy policies and you're like, no, you're just no different than another fucking company. You just have slightly better security and you're maybe taking that into an account. Awesome. But at the end of the day, the better option, which I'll get into in a minute, is more extreme, but it's completely doable. On the messaging aspect, I mean, besides Signal, there's Threema, There's SimpleX. The Session, I'm starting to weave back in because they now say they're going to support perfect forward secrecy. I don't know if it's implemented yet. I do not know what they are, how they're going to implement it. If they go through an audit test and the audit test is from a third independent party and they're like, yep, they have perfect forward secrecy, we've tested it, solid, I would say that they're probably a decent option. I don't like to give a single recommendation because any company, again, can change their policies, get bought out by an evil company, if not a worse company, or just clearly just go in the wrong direction. I mean, they just can start complying with orders and handing over information, blah, 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 whatever. The best kind of information to give to have a company hand over is information they cannot have, like they can't obtain. Zero knowledge proof is kind of like the best. Like if they have a zero knowledge architecture, well, we have nothing to give, so it doesn't matter. They don't have to keep like repeating themselves. So it's kind of gay to sit there and be like, well, we promise to hand over nothing. Well, you said you have a zero knowledge architecture, so we know this already. Like your architecture is built on the fact that you don't have anything, you have nothing to give over, so why repeat yourself? I don't know. That's just kind of my, I get irritated by that when they go over the wire with it. It's maybe to a person that doesn't understand this, sure, they could explain it, but I think the marketing is very cringe. It's very cringe at this point. Besides, like, Threema, Signal, there is Briar. Briar, I don't know if they have perfect word secrecy. There is JMP chat in the messaging platform that uses XMMP, which can have a form of encryption and perfect word secrecy implemented. It's not universal across the board, I believe. I think you have to pick the right chat app. They're inexpensive. There's Silent Link, where you can get real phone numbers to use to register with Signal. So you can have at least a number with your normies where you guys can at least talk to in an end-to-end encrypted fashion. You could always go for like encrypted email if you want to go back to like 1996. Tutanota, it encrypts the whole entire message. It's probably the most robust system. If you use regular email, just use PGP. I mean, there would be actually no problem with doing that in perspective because of the simple fact that email is decentralized, so you have a higher chance of a less chance of getting censored. That's the real focus point too, is like not just handing over your data to these authoritarian type of governments that do not care about people's privacy. They're also probably going to start censoring stuff that you can and cannot see, that you can and cannot do, the apps that you can and cannot use. It starts with protect the children, and it always ends in, well, why should you have encryption? Only we should have it. What if you're a terrorist? What if you're this? What if you're that? A lot of thinking, what ifs. It's like, it's like if you're in Whosville, but like, what if, with the word what if replaced? It's kind of silly and dystopian. I don't really know beyond any reason that you should trust any of these laws or laws with their intention. Besides self-hosting and messaging, how would you get an anonymous quote-unquote number to essentially achieve all this? Well, in Europe, I don't know how possible that is. There are providers out there that do offer ways to do this. There are providers out there that I've messaged in the U.S., like there are in the U.S., and they say that, well, you know, we don't advise, we can't prevent anyone from coming over here, quote-unquote, with a VPN and saying they're, quote-unquote, a U.S. citizen and signing up with our service. We can't stop that. Would it violate our TOS? Yes. So do that with it as you will. If you need to go the extra step to get a U.S. number in order to register with Signal and then take that number and port it somewhere or whatever, that it can stay safeguard so you can have full control of that number, you know, do it as you wish with it. But if you want the no number option, say you don't have a cell phone number and you are like, well, I can just use public Wi-Fi and data. There is SimpleX. SimpleX requires no phone number. Session requires no phone number. Threema requires no phone number. So that's kind of like your only other options. There's Qwitch, but I don't know how active in development it is anymore. I had high hopes for it because it was self-hostable. It routed everything through Tor. And it was a very based product made, you know, with love from Canada is what they, as I would say. But I don't think it got enough recognition, unfortunately. So I'm assuming the worst case scenario is it's probably dead. Or it's being just actively developed and they're not putting out blogs. But keep your eye on it. Look at it. I'll link them their website in the show notes, because I think that a good option, having options out there is always going to be good. I don't think people should wake up and start making chat apps. I think we have enough, but having good amount of a good amount of options for chat is should be viable. You have also Element, like you know, the Matrix realm. You have XMPP, you have Jabber, you have IRC. You have a lot of options if you decide to go to the, like, the no cell phone route, which no cell phone number. I generally tell people that's probably the best route. Like, just get, if you, there's no such thing as burner phones, but just get a prepaid SIM, like $20 a year, that you can obtain privately, put it on a phone, like a flip phone, and then just put that for very specific emergencies in the corner. Like, if you go the no phone route and your bank needs a phone number to do 2FA, which shouldn't even be allowed anymore, 2FA via SMS is garbage, then just use it for that. Other than that, because, like, if they're sending it over SMS anyways, it's insecure, so it doesn't really matter. So I would say get a prepaid SIM if you can, as privately as possible, and use that for the very set, like, not, like, things that you can't avoid to own a number, and then the rest should be followed with a VoIP number, voice over IP. Like JMP Chat is only in the US, but they said that there are some European options, or find an anonymous company that will give you an eSIM with data in it so that you can use these said messaging apps. There's literally a list of them. If you need, you know, video calling, Jitsi. If you need, or Matrix or Signal or Element, there's not really any other options besides that. Especially like with messaging is such a critical component. And I know it seems like I'm beating a dead horse into the ground, but messaging now is a very critical form of communication. There's not really another good option. There's Meshtastic. That's kind of like a good, okay-ish option, but it's not, the range isn't the best. It's not a homogenous platform. Not everyone has nodes. You got to buy extra equipment. You got to keep them. It's just more maintenance than it really is worth, in my opinion. So that's just like, I think it's a cool project. I use Meshtastic. There's really good communities around here because it allows you to have radio with no license in the U.S. Where you can communicate in somewhat long distance. It does have a form of encryption. So does the Requiem Network. That's another option. There's just a lot of good options out there. Requiem Network is probably the most fascinating one because it can use pretty much anything. It's a very ad hoc network. And ad hoc networks are kind of based, kind of cool. There's a good amount of them out there, but not enough to really deep dive into. Besides, like, that you should go look into some peer-to-peer ad hoc networks that exist out there. They have a really big, like, fan base, and they're kind of like there's people out there that like this. I like this stuff, but like, if it was like critical, like messaging security, I would look at really robust situations like Signal that have been proven, and maybe SimpleX. SimpleX has done they're doing some goofy stuff right now. If you look at their Twitter, that I'm like, that's not good. The way they like want to like pay their nodes, operators or whatever, and they've said some silly stuff on the internet. But that's not the point. You can, because you can host your own simple X relay yourself. It's open source, so it doesn't necessarily matter. But you also have session as well for the no number and three long. So, you know, but I digress. Minus the beating the dead horse, just, you know, shove those things in the back of your head because it's going to be more important than ever. I would say familiar yourself with PGP at worst case scenario. Familiar yourself with how to use Veracrypt, PicoCrypt, in order to know how to encrypt files on the go, especially if your computer gets compromised, especially if you're a part of groups and your searches or like any correlation to your identity is correlating to any resistance to these kind of authoritarian reaches, it's definitely good to make sure that you learn OPSEC. OPSEC is your most important asset. That's why if you can forfeit the phone number and just work off Wi-Fi and a decent VPN to kind of obfuscate your IP address a little bit while you're using public Wi-Fi, that'd probably be the better option. GrapheneOS does do MAC randomization. If you can get your hands on a Pixel and do GrapheneOS, definitely do it. They are in the works of probably talking with a large OEM to make their own phone. They missed the deadline. It's not even going to be a thing until 2027. So do not hold your breath. Just get a Pixel 8 and above and install GrapheneOS. It is your best option. France hates it so much that GrapheneOS moved out of France, but that's not the whole story. I would say go look at their Mastodon, Twitter, X, whatever, and see the insane story of how that unraveled. France is a huge supporter of chat control, and so are a few other European countries and cities, nations, etc. Not a good thing in general, but I would definitely say that if this is something that you've heard about and it is concerning you, not only just talk to your representatives, start preparing for yourself that this is going to go into effect and activate. I would say if you can get rid of social media, do so, or start falsifying all the information on your profiles, and because your real friends know who you are, and then private them before they start scanning for everything. Message-wise, just get an end-to-end encrypted proven message platform. Self-hosting, start with very simple, small apps like Image, Joplin for your notes, Image for like your photos, and there are ways to encrypt these yourself. And if you want to go a step further, you can get something called a self-encrypting drive that will encrypt everything at rest. That is another option, but make sure that you encrypt everything at every layer, and then find a decent third offsite local backup end-to-end encrypted option. I'm using BorgBack and Rustic right now in my workflow because it's encrypted by default and it helps deduplication, so it saves on space, so I don't have to spend a boatload of money to get any of my stuff over to a cloud provider that does, you know, respect your privacy. There is not a lot of good ones out there when it comes to encryption for photos, but if you're looking for the non-paid route, just put everything on a flash drive or hard drive and encrypt it yourself. There's Cryptomator with said providers where you can encrypt everything and then set it up to the major providers like Dropbox, etc., etc. And then there's Entei and Crypti. They allow you to upload your photos, and then Filin allows you up to upload your photos and everything at a pretty decent rate, so you can have your photos in a cloud provider that respects your privacy and encrypts it anyway, so they can't even see it. Give your money to open source developers instead of to Netflix and all these other like shitty companies, and start self-hosting as much as possible. It's kind of like I started with like a very small like non-expensive like Raspberry Pi. Now they're kind of expensive, but I started with a cheap Raspberry Pi. I went to a tower server that was retarded because they're power hungry. I went away from a tower server to mini PCs. This was like about in the last like 2 years. Now I have a cluster. But you don't have to do that. You can get an inexpensive router and install OpenWrt on it, OpenWrt, PFSense, OpenSense, whatever, one of the free and open source options out there to make sure that you're running like as free as possible. And then you can make sure to get like an inexpensive switch so you can have more than one device and then start from there. I mean, your Hobe Lab doesn't have to be built overnight. You can build it slowly. I don't know what the electricity cost is. Are in Europe. I know there some complain that they're very expensive. It's actually just cheaper to host in the cloud. If you're going to host in the cloud, just find a trusted cloud provider that, again, respects your privacy to the fullest extent. There are a legal entity, but at the end of the day, someone who will be like, we can't give any information we don't have. And obviously, VPSs that accept Monero. There is a few of them. There's one called SporeStack. They're like, they're kind of like the middlemen. And they rent from like other VPS providers, but they will comply obviously with like the law if like you're doing anything like nefarious or illegal. But if you just want a place to host stuff, there's also PikaPods. PikaPods is really cool. They have one-click solutions. They're free and open source, and they donate, I think, some of the procedures to like the developers of those apps anyways. So that's another really good company that I use. I use them for some stuff. Or have a hybrid solution, however you want to do it. I can make a whole series. I'm going to probably do one on KubeOS and like how to set it up and my experience with it. And I mean, like you got to start somewhere, and like where you should start is probably with just the basics that you use and just transfer. I mean, I thought it was going to be impossible to get into a password manager. I now use KeePass. With syncing, so it's all about habits. And if once you get into these habits and you start realizing like, I'm not going to give my phone number, I'm not going to give my real email address, you're kind of going to get accustomed to it so easily that it's not even going to be a problem anymore. You just got to get in the habit of it. That's pretty much like how I look at it. Now it's a habit for me when I go out in public and they ask for my email. I'm like, all right, they really want it. It's gonna be a really long one because it's gonna be my email. It's gonna be my dump email alias if they don't want to give me my fucking receipt, you know, type shit. So like, that's just like my thoughts. What's been going on in the world? I'm going to go back to a normal upload schedule. Hopefully, I'll have another episode out by the next week or something like that. I should have it. I wanna make sure that I'm staying consistent because I took a little bit too much time off. But if you have made it to the end of the video or the podcast or whatever, I appreciate everyone stopping by. I will see you guys in the next one. Later.